Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I hope you're having a good day and a good start to the new year. This is the first radio broadcast of the new year, 2016. So we're glad to get started one more time, one more revolution around the sun. If the Lord gives it to us, we'll get started on it. And I want to say hello to Noah. He's here today and helping us out. And how are you today, Noah?
I'm doing well, and it is good to be here today. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on Saturdays on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we're going to get started today. We finished up a series last week talking about what I can do for my country, and we dealt with that for several months. And then we had like a 1 week break, but today we're going to just deal with one thing. Not really going to start a series yet. I've been thinking about a few different things, but I'm just not settled yet on which way that the Lord would have us to go. But today I want to deal with a current event, something that's very controversial when you talk about people. And I'm not trying to be controversial, but it is just a controversial subject. And this has been in the news for several weeks now. In fact, it really never does go out of the news. Somebody's always talking about it. But I want to talk today and share some things from the Bible and from our history as a nation on the subject of gun control. And if I was given a title to today's subject, I would say more gun control equals less freedom. More gun control equals less freedom. On the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal today, and I'm sure it's not just out of that newspaper, but probably newspapers all across the country, is the headline, and this is from the Associated Press, but January 5th, 2016, Obama, more background checks to sell guns. And I read the article this morning, and it starts out like this, and it says, President Barack Obama moved Monday to expand background checks to cover more guns sold at gun shows, online, and anywhere else, aiming to curb a scourge of gun violence despite unyielding opposition to new gun laws in Congress. Obama's plan to broaden background checks forms the centerpiece of a broader package of measures the president plans to take on his own on gun control in his final year in office. Although Obama can't unilaterally change gun laws, the president is hoping that beefing up enforcement of existing laws can prevent at least some gun deaths in a country rife with them. And then here's a quotation. It says, "This is not going to solve every violent crime in this country." It's not going to solve every violent. It's probably going to solve very few crimes in this country, just to be honest. I seen a political cartoon, and in the political cartoon at the top, the heading of it, it had something, and I'm going from memory here, but it had something like gun violence in America. And on the left-hand panel, it had the White House and sort of a you know, where they do like talking, the balloon coming out of the White House, what they were saying at the White House. And the White House was saying in the cartoon, more gun laws. And then in the next frame, it had people lined up at a gun store, and the people were saying, more guns. So the heading was gun violence. The White House is saying we need more gun laws, and the people are lined up at the gun store saying we need more guns because of gun violence. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to talk about that. More gun control. Is it necessary? Do we need it? Would it do any good? And this is just my personal opinion. And there's a lot of opinions out there. But I believe I can back mine up with examples from history and even the Bible, what the Bible has to say about this. But more gun control equals less freedom for those that love freedom, for those that appreciate it. It equals less freedom. Now, I want to read something. This is from a little book I've had for several years. I've talked about it in broadcasts. It's been a long time now, but the book is called The Citizen's Rule Book. And it says on page number 9, it says, "Give up rights for the common good," with a question mark. It says, "Where the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Where the government fears the people, you have liberty. Politicians, bureaucrats, and especially judges would have you believe that too much freedom will result in chaos. Therefore, we should gladly give up some of our rights for the good of the community." In other words, people acting in the name of government say we need more laws and more jurors to enforce these laws, even if we have to give up some rights in the process. They believe the more laws we have, the more control, thus a better society. This theory may sound good on paper, and apparently many of our leaders think this way, as evidenced by the thousands of new laws that are added to the books each year in this country. But no matter how cleverly this Marxist argument is made, the hard fact is that whenever you give up a right, you lose a free choice. This adds another control. Control's real name is bondage. The logical conclusion would be, if giving up some rights produces a better society, then by giving up all rights, we could produce the perfect society. We could chain everybody to a tree for lack of trust. This may prevent a crime, but it would destroy privacy, which is the heartbeat of freedom. It would also destroy trust, which is the foundation for dignity. Rather than giving up rights, we should be giving up wrongs. The opposite of control is not chaos. More laws do not make less criminals. We must give up wrongs, not rights, for a better society. William Pitt of the British House of Commons once proclaimed, "Necessity is the plea of every infringement of human liberty. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves." And so that's a lot to think about in that short little couple of paragraphs there, but it makes some good points talking about giving up rights for the common good, whether you're talking about gun control, whether you're talking about privacy, whatever you're talking about, you know, that's always the plea of the government. We've got to do this for the sake of everybody. Well, if we give up a few rights, why not just give up all of them? Because that's what little by little, I mean, if you continually are giving up this and giving up that and giving up this, next thing you know, you don't have any rights. Next thing you know, you're not free. You are in bondage. That first sentence, it said, "Where the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Where the government fears the people, you have liberty." And I thought about that, how true that is. Where the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Where the government fears the people, you have liberty. Now, I have an opinion that when the government is talking about gun control, they're not nearly as concerned about your safety as they might make you think they are. If they were really concerned about gun violence, they would do something about what takes place in Chicago. And that's one of the most violent places in the country that, by the way, has some of the most strict gun laws in the whole nation is the city of Chicago. And you read in the newspaper and you keep up with what goes on in Chicago, I mean, they're shooting and killing each other every day, every night. I mean, it's just a common thing. Start there and try to make a difference. But they're not nearly as concerned about your safety as they might make you want to think that they are. What they're really concerned about is fear of an armed citizenry. And what really bothers them is loss of revenue. There's a lot of money exchanges hands over guns that the government doesn't get any, they don't get a piece of it. You know, if Uncle John sells his grandpa's shotgun to his nephew because he doesn't want it anymore and he gets $300, the government doesn't get a piece of that. And boy, when there's money being exchanged and the government doesn't get any of it, they try to find a way to get it. And so when you talk about guns and ammunition knives and really just trading around in general. Boy, the government, they'd like to have a piece of everything they can, and they try to arrange things that way. And so there's a lot of things we could say about gun control. But, what about the Bible? What does the Bible say? If I was going to use a text, a proof text, that being able to own a firearm is a good thing, that being able to defend yourself, that having a armed citizenry is a good thing. If I was going to have a proof text from the Bible, I would take the text that I use every week when we come on the radio broadcast, Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10, where God said, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And if you just look at the Bible, and it doesn't matter if you're looking in the under the Old Testament law, if you're looking in the church age, if you're looking even into the future prophecies that you find in the book of Revelation, what you will find in the Bible is this, is that God is pro-liberty. He is for liberty. He is for liberty spiritually. He is for liberty physically speaking. He is for maximum liberty, liberty that does not, we're not talking about anarchy. We're not talking about chaos. We're not talking about just everybody doing what they want to do. But for people to have maximum happiness, they must have maximum liberty, and the kind of liberty that obeys natural laws. And that means that your liberty and the use and the exercise of your liberty, you're not harming anybody else. When you begin to harm someone else, that's where your liberty ends. And so have liberty. But thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You see, you begin to harm somebody else. And so there's where your liberty ends. There's where law enforcement comes in. But God in the Bible is for maximum liberty. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, I also find this as I study the Bible. God is anti-tyrant. God is anti-tyranny. In fact, if you were to take up the book of the Bible, the whole Bible, and you were to study the Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you could do a real good study on tyrants, tyranny. And what you will find over and over and over again in the Bible is that God is on the opposite side of the tyrant. You could say it like David and Goliath. David is the tyrant. Goliath is the tyrant. David is the liberator. You look in the book of Genesis at Nimrod. You look at Nebuchadnezzar. You look at the Herod. You look even in the book of Revelation at the reign of the Antichrist. And the good guys are always the liberators. The bad guys are always the oppressors in the Bible. So, two arguments from the Bible. God is pro-liberty and God is anti-tyranny. He's for maximum freedom. I wanted to read just a little bit out of 1 Samuel chapter number 13 this morning. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, just to give you a little background, we don't have time to go all into this, but Israel, the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, they are in bondage. They are in bondage. They're in slavery. They are being oppressed by the Philistines. That is the background. Now we have the reason why they are being oppressed. In verse number 19, the Bible said, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock." And so they had farm tools, axe, hoe, coulter, all these things. They had to go to the Philistines to get these things even sharpened. And then verse number 21 said, "Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And so what we have here in the Bible, we have that the children of Israel, the Hebrews, they had no weapons. They had no sword or spear. They had no way. The Philistines had outlawed the art of blacksmith. To be a smith, that means to be a blacksmith. They had no way to manufacture. They had no way to make weapons. They could not make swords. They could not make spears. They couldn't get any. The Philistines had very strict laws concerning swords and spears among the Hebrew people. Verse 19 again, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. And so they wouldn't let him have a blacksmith. They wouldn't let him have the means to make these weapons, lest the Hebrews have or make them swords and spears. Now, it was not because the Philistines were concerned about crime among the children of Israel. It was not because the Philistines were concerned for their safety. Well, we don't want to have any sword. We don't want any of them to have any swords. They might get hurt. Somebody might attack somebody. Somebody might kill somebody. It was not for their safety. It was for their subjection. And whenever in the Bible or in history you find a people that are disarmed, what you find is a people that are in subjection. Now, I'm going to give you about four things about gun control. The number one reason why you and I ought to fear government, more government control over our lives, is distrust of government. The reason I don't want more gun control laws, the reason I don't think it's a good idea, and I know all the arguments, I know what people say, and some people would say, oh, you're a preacher, you ought to be for this. But I'm not for this because I do not trust the government. And if you were wise, neither would you. And that is not a radical statement to say that. I am not anti-government. I am pro-good government. We need more good government. Not more government, but more good government. Government that would obey the Constitution. Well, we could get off on another subject right there. But I'm not saying, if I say I do not trust the government, that is not being anti-government. If you know anything about the history of our country, our founders, our founding documents, you will know that our whole system of government is based upon the very fact that we function under what we call limited government or limited power. Limited power is a good thing. For example, our government from the very beginning was designed to have three branches. There are three branches of government in our government in the United States. There's the legislative, that's the congressmen, that's the senators, they make laws. There's the judicial branch of the government, that's the Supreme Court on down. And then there's the executive branch of government, that's the president, that's the White House, that is that administration. When we talk about an administration, we're talking about whoever is the president at that time. And so we have the legislative, we have the judicial, and we have the executive. This is called separation of powers. No branch of government has ultimate authority. We have separation of powers, and we have something else. It's called checks and balances. One branch of government polices or keeps in check the other branch of government. The legislature may come up with a law, and the president has the power to veto that. You see, there's checks and balances. There's a reason why in our government it's so hard to get anything done. You know, people say, well, we need a new president, and they'll come in and do this and do that. And then the new president comes in, and they don't hardly get anything done. Why is it so hard for them to get anything done? Because we have a system of checks and balances, and one branch of government checks the other one. That they do not have, or this is how it's supposed to work. It's not always the way that it does work, but that's the way it was designed to work, that there would be a separation of powers. And this separation of powers is governed by a constitution. Now, our Constitution was written by men that knew that the more power that individuals had, the more they abused it. And so our Constitution, if you read it, and I've taught through the Constitution here on Blessings of Liberty, and we've went through it page by page. It's not a big document. I mean, you can sit down and read the whole thing in 20 or 30 minutes. But this Constitution, the United States Constitution, is to govern our government. Everybody in the government, the executive, the legislatures, the judicial, they all take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. All of our military take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. The Constitution that is approved by we the people, it is the supreme law of the land. So the Constitution limits the people in the government. It limits the presidential powers. It limits the legislature. It limits the judicial branches of government. And the Constitution says, now, you can go this far, but you cannot go any further. And then the Constitution begins with we the people. So who watches over the government? We the people. And so when the government governs, that is all that they're supposed to be doing. The Constitution gives the government the power to govern, but not to rule. And there's a big difference between those two things. They have the power to govern within the confines of the Constitution. And the Constitution is like a fence that keeps the government from going but just so far. And where the Constitution does not speak, it goes over to the states. That's the way it's supposed to work. And like we said a moment ago, that's not always the way that it does. But the Constitution governs the government and gives them power to govern, but does not give them power to rule. And then right along beside the Constitution, the only reason the Constitution was ratified to begin with was on the promise of the Bill of Rights. And so the Bill of Rights, I'm sure you're familiar with the Bill of Rights when we're talking about gun control. What always comes up? The Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, that's talking about the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And all of these in the Bill of Rights are very, very important. You have the freedom of speech. Article 1, Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We'd all say, well, that's very important. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so the Bill of Rights, again, tells the government, hey, we don't trust you. And so we have these rights, freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, the right of Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. That's to keep the government out of your house. That's to keep the government out of your private business. See, our founders, they didn't trust government. And this is why they put these safeguards in place. Now, the way people are today, they have blinders on. And they think, well, anything Obama does, he's a good person and this is good. Or I'm a Democrat and this is what the Democrats want to do and that's good. And they're not looking at the big picture. But what we fail to recognize sometimes is whatever Obama is doing, whatever the present administration does today, they will pass on to the next administration. And so do you want Donald Trump having these powers? And the same people say, no, I don't think Donald Trump ought to have these powers. Donald Trump, he's crazy. Have you heard some of the things he said? Ought to ban all the Muslims from coming into this country. Ought to close all the mosques. Ought to bomb them off the face of the earth. See, whatever this administration does, the next administration gets, and then they add more on top of that. That's the way that it always is. And so the safe place for American citizens is not to trust any of them. Don't give the government any of our rights. Don't let them into any area of our life. That's a safe place to be, not to trust them. If you're trusting them with your rights, the next group that comes along may abuse the ones that you trusted today. And so that would be my number one reason. Don't trust the government. Number two, and that's a historical valid reason, by the way. Number two, and time is quickly getting gone, gun control just does not work. Background checks does not work. Assault rifle bans, limits on magazines, all these things that have been tried in all these different countries, it just does not work. And you say, oh, sure it does. Well, what about Paris? What about what happened just recently? Went in and killed all these people, 150-some people. Hey, they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. And yet here they are. And these people got guns, and they went in, and they did this horrible thing. What about happened in California? Same thing. They have some of the strictest gun laws in the country. Same thing with Chicago, and on we could go. The majority of mass shootings in this country since Columbine have involved one of two things, not only guns. And by the way, some of these mass killers, they got a gun legally. They went into a gun store. They filled out the information. They lied, and they passed the background check, and they got a gun. And they went out and they killed a bunch of people with that legally purchased firearm. But what is never mentioned is what is behind a lot of these mass shootings. One thing is either radical Islam, well, that's terrorism, or a lot of these people have been on psychotropic drugs. They've been taking stuff for depression. They've been taking stuff for ADHD. They're hooked on these things. Man, those are powerful things. Those are mind-altering drugs. But that is never mentioned. But gun control, it just does not work. I seen something that said it was a sign. And it said, we protect our president with guns, we protect our military with guns, we protect our public buildings, our sporting events, and it mentioned a whole lot of things. And it said, we protect our children with signs. This is a gun-free zone. That's crazy. That just does not work. Number three, more gun control only affects honest people. It does not keep guns out of the hands of criminals. It only affects honest people. I was in that business for several years. And I'll tell you something. Terrorists don't come into gun stores and buy guns. Criminals don't come into gun stores and buy guns. They know they're not going to pass the background check. And so it only affects honest people. The whole background check system is based upon you being honest. And criminals are not honest. Terrorists are not honest. People lie. Gun-free zones only affect honest people. Somebody that's going to go in and kill a lot of people does not walk up to the door and say, oh, no concealed weapons in there. I better not go in the hospital. Better not go in the library. Better not go in the elementary school because that sign is going to keep me out. No, that just makes that place a killing field. And there's nothing can be done about it. Number four, self-defense. When you think about it, the ability to protect yourself, my right to protect my family, my neighbor, is one of the basic, one of the most basic of all human rights that there is. And so several things we're thinking about today. Gun control boils down to less freedom for you, less freedom for me. I've got to wrap things up here. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That's something that's not thought of many times. In a perfect world, there'd be no reason to discuss this or even talk about it, but we're in a fallen world, and evil is present. And the only place you'll ever go where you don't have to worry about evil is heaven, and the only way to get there is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, our time is gone. Have a great day. Noah's going to give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828 863-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at MountLebanonBC.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.